focused on exposure today. Truth, exposure, and accountability. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, live from the D.C. area. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Good evening. Today we're broadcasting from Arlington, Virginia, just outside of D.C. We're here for a very special event. It's an event that's happened before, yet almost nobody in America has ever heard of it. Here in Virginia, the survivors of the USS Liberty are gathering to mark the 55th anniversary of an event that has bound them all together for the rest of their lives, and actually for all time. Some of our viewers may know the USS Liberty story well. Others may have only heard of it. Some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about at all, so we'll take a moment to explain. The USS Liberty was originally built as a cargo ship near the end of World War II, but after the war, she was repurposed to serve the Navy as a reconnaissance ship. She would just lurk in international waters and monitor or intercept radio communications from nearby countries. Well, in 1967, Israel was on the brink of war with its Arab neighbors, so the USS Liberty was sent to monitor the situation. Eventually, the Six-Day War broke out, so the Liberty moved to about 20 miles off the coast of the Sinai Peninsula to spy on Egyptian communications. It was supposed to be a simple mission, but instead the Liberty came under sustained and relentless attack from Israeli air and naval forces. Yes, that's right, Israel attacked the USS Liberty. 34 Americans died, more than 100 were wounded, close to 200 actually. It was one of the worst peacetime disasters ever suffered by the US Navy. That's a tragic story. But where it takes a turn for the horrific is everything that has happened and everything that has been revealed in the decades since, over five decades. The official story of the USS Liberty is that the attack on the ship was an accident. The Israeli government says the Liberty was mistaken for an Egyptian ship and mistakenly attacked. Our government has always formally accepted that explanation with no investigation at all whatsoever, aside from 1 week of an investigation, and a weak one at that. But the sailors of the USS Liberty never have, and they have good reason not to. There's evidence, a lot of evidence, in fact, that at least some members of the Israeli military and government knew exactly what they were attacking. There's evidence that top members of the US government, possibly Lyndon B. Johnson himself, knew the truth as well beforehand and may have even participated in the attack. Why would Israel intentionally attack an American ship? There's a lot of theories out there. One theory is that the plan was to blame Egypt and use the attack as a setup so America would intervene in the war on Israel's behalf. We were just minutes, 4 to 6 minutes away from a nuclear retaliation being launched on Egypt for an attack that they had nothing to do with. There's even theories that LBJ's administration directly collaborated in the plan itself. But the evidence is, of course, incomplete. And one reason for that is that from the beginning, the attack on the Liberty has been downplayed and hushed up. So far, there's been only one proper, genuine investigation of the attack, if you can call it that, by a U.S. Naval Court of Inquiry conducted right after the attack. That investigation, operating under orders from John McCain's dad, was completed in just 10 days. Think about the investigations that we have ongoing in this country for far less. Even though the head of the group said a proper investigation would require at least 6 months to complete, no Israeli personnel were interviewed for the investigation. According to one participant, they were expressly ordered by the Johnson administration to announce that the attack was an accident. Liberty Commander William L. McGonigal was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the attack. Medals of Honor are usually awarded in person by the president at the White House. But McGonigal got his Medal of Honor in an unpublicized ceremony at the Washington Navy Yard with the president nowhere in sight. And that's how it's been ever since. Silence and secrecy and shoving the Liberty down the memory hole. Whatever the original reason for suppressing the attack, it's very clear why it continues to be memory holed even a half a century later. Because both parties have elevated our alliance with Israel into a political sacred cow. We can never question it. We can never allow the slightest doubt to fall upon it. And for that, the sailors of the USS Liberty are just an inconvenience. I've been invited to speak at this gathering, and you'll be able to see my speech in just moments in front of the Liberty's veterans. I'll also be interviewing several Liberty survivors to hear their stories and much of what Washington wants forgotten. I'm glad that you're here.
Man, I gotta tell you, because of the size of the platform, you know, that God has given us, the Stu Peters Show, millions of people view the program every day. And so I get invited to be at a lot of places as a result of that. I don't just go everywhere. I really wanted to be here. I saw this film, and gentlemen, what these guys were able to do with that film, I felt like I knew all of you. I felt like, in a way, I had gone through this, and then I try to wrap my head around that, and I'm like, but you didn't. And I got to tell you, like, I have never been in a room where I'm more humbled to be among the people that I'm talking with. I just feel really honored to be here. I just salute the hell out of you guys. I mean, people go through things in their life and they go, oh, this is really hard. You know, this is really difficult. And they haven't seen anything. They don't really know what a real battle looks like. And that you guys would have me here is just really humbling. And I want you to know that I appreciate your service, not only in 1967, but in the 55 years since. And your service and your commitment to the truth, really, above anything else. And I just want you to know that I'm 100% on board with broadcasting this story far and wide. The world needs to know about this. The secrets are disgusting. It's appalling what has happened in this country, that with the censorship and the narrative of allies over our nation and over our nation's heroes. And I know that it's hard because I come from a military family. I know that a lot of guys, it's really difficult for them to say, oh, well, you're a hero. Because a lot of guys just, they don't want to be. That's not the shtick. That's not why you guys did what you did. That's not why you're here. That's not the glory that you seek. That's not what this is. But really, honestly, truly, if I've ever been in a room full of heroes, this is it. Like, honestly, thank you for having me. You know, our leaders get more and more hostile to the truth and to honesty with each passing day. They feel threatened by it, and so they try to snuff it out. They replace all of the real honesty with manufactured media narratives, and then they try to convince us all that it's true. And I know that powerful people have tried to silence and ignore and even humiliate all of you for decades. So I just want to say God bless you for remaining passionate enough and outraged enough to keep fighting for the respect that you deserve as U.S. servicemen after all of these years. So like I was going to say, I mean, like most Americans, I didn't learn about the USS Liberty in school. And there certainly was no media outlet working hard to try to teach me the truth as an adult either. And right now, our country is going through a moment where we are so polarized and captured in reveling in, you know, controversial events over the last 50 or 70 or 100 years. But the Liberty is an exception. Nobody in power wants to talk about this. And I find that completely disgusting. So when I finally learned about the Liberty after Matt shared sacrificing Liberty with me, it was like reading some secret underground newspaper in the Soviet Union. Everything about the Liberty is treated like a conspiracy theory. Even when most of our sources are experienced admirals and generals and diplomats and politicians, but still, eventually I had my eyes opened about the Liberty, and when I did, I'm not sure which part of the story appalled me the most. And so I put a few of them down here. There was the part where Israeli jets flew close enough to the Liberty for our sailors to wave at them, and yet somehow the ship wasn't identified as an American one. There was the October 1967 CIA document where a source that remains classified to this day reported that the attack on the Liberty was ordered by the Israeli defense minister himself over the objections of an admiral who called it pure murder, which is exactly what it was. There was a report from our own Lebanese ambassador, Dwight Porter, who saw intercepted transcripts where pilots protested that they were attacking an American ship. Never mind, hit it, they were told. There was the part where an air controller in Tel Aviv told his pilots they were apparently attacking Americans 14 minutes before a torpedo attack that claimed 26 American lives. There was the part where the torpedo attack could have been prevented, except that not one but two relief missions from U.S. aircraft carriers were sent out and then recalled by direct order from Washington, D.C., reportedly because, according to Robert McNamara, quote, President Johnson is not going to go to war or embarrass an American ally over a few sailors. There was the part where Captain Ward Boston testified in a sworn affidavit that he was ordered by President Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara to conclude the attack was an accident, despite all of the evidence to the contrary. I mean, we see cover-up after cover-up after cover-up in today's government. It is a evil pit of wickedness. But this story, I just don't, there was the part where Captain Ward Boston testified about that evidence and everybody shut it down. Nobody wants to hear it because of this ally situation that has been force-fed to us since we were in elementary school, all over the media. So many billions and trillions of dollars get funneled into that narrative to cover up the truth about what happened to you on that day. There was the part where President Johnson completely accepted Israel's claim that the entire attack was just an accident, even though Secretary of State Dean Rusk believed the exact opposite. He knew the truth. And even though future Defense Secretary Clark Clifford said the accidental attack was, quote, inconceivable. There was the part where LBJ contemplated letting the USS Liberty sink. Supposedly just so the bullet-riddled ship that you heroically returned to port couldn't be photographed by the press and used to embarrass him and his precious ally. There's a lot of terrifying parts. The absolutely terrifying part where, according to some sources, we may have been just minutes away from launching a nuclear retaliation against Egypt when they had absolutely nothing to do with it. There was the part where Israel's own diplomats communicated back to Tel Aviv expressing concern that the Americans had evidence that the attack was intentional. And Israel had to react quickly or there would be a diplomatic calamity. I mean, you think about where we are today. We invaded an entire country in Iraq over a lie. Weapons of mass destruction and Saddam Hussein ties to Al-Qaeda. Whoops, spoiler alert. And we immediately went into that country and created an Iranian puppet state and sacrificed thousands of lives of young soldiers, like you were young sailors. I mean, these are kids, essentially. Lies. There was the part where our first report on the attack was rushed out in just 20 days and ignored crucial testimony like the close-range machine gun attacks on the Liberty's lifeboats. Everybody on that deck was fair game. It was disgusting. I mean, these are war crimes. There's the part where the chairman of the Joint Chiefs openly said that there was a cover-up, and that while he couldn't understand why, it was clear that our government was putting Israeli interests above our country's interests. And as somebody who never knew about this story, somebody who wasn't taught this story, somebody who's I reluctantly say, in the media today, digging relentlessly to uncover truths like this one and expose them to millions of people, regardless of the petty threats and risks, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. But this America First mentality is being squashed by these evil, wicked, power-hungry bureaucrats and the worst factions of a global cabal hell-bent on the destruction of this country. And the cover-up of your story is a prime indication that that is a fair analysis of the country that we're in right now. We talked about Iraq. What about Afghanistan? I mean, we couldn't find Osama bin Laden for all of that time, but yet we can hunt down no problem based on cell phone coordinates, grandmas and grandpas that took selfies at the Capitol on January 6th and take them into custody and lock them up. It's disgusting. And last of all, there was the fact that in his own autobiography, President Johnson gave a single paragraph to the fallen heroes of the Liberty. For good measure, he obliterated the very memory of two-thirds of the men who died on the Liberty by claiming that only 10 Americans died in that attack. You all know the story a whole lot better than I do. I mean, you don't need me to describe it any further. But to any American who actually cares about this country, I'll admit, I sometimes wonder how large that number is these days. But to any American who cares about this country, it makes you lose your mind. 34 dead Americans. Overwhelming evidence that those lives were taken deliberately and by who took them. More than a half a dozen top military commanders, ambassadors, and cabinet officials all agreeing that there was a cover-up. And almost desperately trying to get our leaders to notice and to say something and to care about what happened to 34 brave American citizens on that day in 1967. The tragedy of the Liberty ought to be remembered as one of the worst disasters ever suffered by this country. Remember the Battle of Mogadishu, when we sent troops to Somalia in 1993? We got a massive Hollywood blockbuster about that battle. Here in Virginia, you can get a custom license plate to remember the 19 sailors murdered on the USS Cole 2 decades ago. But when a city in Florida put up a monument to honor the sailors of the Liberty a few years ago, they got warnings from the Florida government that forced them to omit who killed those sailors. In a better country, in a serious country, in a country with a serious and better ruling elite, what happened to all of you on the Liberty and how you've been treated for 55 years would be one of the greatest scandals of all time. But we're not in a serious country anymore, sadly, and that's the truth. The people responsible for this cover-up would have become infamous, they would have been humiliated, and they would have been disgraced, and they would have gone to prison. But that didn't happen. The truth is, the heroes of the Liberty, you, and those who were lost, were turned into a sacrifice to the arrogance and stupidity of ruling elites who see brave men of the U.S. Armed Forces as expendable pawns on a global geopolitical chessboard. I want to be appalled, and I am, but at the same time, one of the greatest tragedies is that I know that I shouldn't be appalled or surprised, because here in 2022, looking back, we can see that the spirit of 1967 lives on right here in Washington. To this day, we haven't learned the whole story about 9/11 because it might be embarrassing to our allies in Saudi Arabia and, yes, in Israel. Washington is really good at protecting our allies. Allies. If they only cared a tenth as much about protecting us. America once had leaders who understood how sacred it was to send men into harm's way. This country fought a lot of wars in its first 150 years. Some of them were good and necessary wars. Some of them were not so necessary. But all of them had an objective. The men who went off to fight knew what they were fighting for: to preserve the Union, to protect settlers from Indian raids, to stop Nazi Germany. But after the Korean War, something changed. Maybe it's that we became a superpower and our military-industrial complex and shameless leaders decided to play global policemen. Maybe it's that our leadership class in D.C. stopped being veterans themselves. The vast majority of sitting U.S. congressmen have never served in our armed forces, and I think that's a travesty. Or maybe it's simply that our government is controlled by special interests and foreign countries, and the worst factions of the evil cabal that I spoke about, hell-bent on the destruction of America, rather than by American people. But for 70 years now, we've had a government which routinely puts America's young men in danger for goals that they can barely explain themselves. When the war in Afghanistan ended, for example, some of those guys that were coming home were newborn infants when those towers came down on September 11th in 2001. They were infants. And they're over there fighting this war, can't explain why. Their leaders are telling them, we don't really have an objective. But we taught Pashtun tribesmen the importance of transgenderism, so I suppose that's good. After 9/11, President George W. Bush told the American people that we had to embark on a global war on terrorism against an enemy that hated us for our freedom and had to be fought abroad so that we wouldn't have to fight him here. And the American people supported that overwhelmingly. We had witnessed a monstrosity and a monstrous evil and a travesty and a tragedy that brought people together. Everybody was an American. There were so many American flags flying on September 12th and 13th and in the days and weeks and months and even a year afterwards. And so we were willing to fight to stop evil like that. Tens of thousands of people volunteered to do exactly that. But where are we now, decades later? Afghanistan is under Taliban control again. But the disgrace isn't that we lost, it's that our leaders never even had a plan for winning. They didn't want to win. If you read the actual text of Afghan war papers, it's insane. Years into the conflict, our top generals and Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, didn't even know what our objective was, what we were trying to do, what would constitute a victory. By the middle of Barack Obama's first term, our military and civilian leaders knew exactly what the reality of Afghanistan was. Every year we were losing ground, we had no strategy for defeating the Taliban, and we were pacifying the country. All of our nation-building money, all of our, well, let's install a little democracy here, and let's force a little democracy here, and let's stick our agenda and our missiles in every country, everywhere, all over the world. It just went to corruption and bribes, all of that money. All they would do is throw money at problems. Money to buy off Afghan warlords, and of course, money to enrich defense contractors and NGOs back here in America. The contractors got rich. The warlords got rich. The elites in the DC Beltway got power. And what about our boys in the military? They were in Afghanistan dying so that our leaders could brag about being tough on terrorism. But as a special breed of Americans, we here in this room, and the few of you that I have talked to, and on the Stu Peters team, and the Sacrificing Liberty crew, We're optimistic people. We here in this room are fighters. And it's that fighting spirit that allowed the heroes of the Liberty, you, to survive that attack 55 years ago. And it's that fighting spirit which kept your ship afloat despite 821 shell holes. It's the fighting spirit which enabled you to get your ship all the way to Malta, 1,200 miles away. It's the fighting spirit that has kept all of you fighting for honesty and for recognition at a bare minimum, and the full truth, which I am now committed to, is pure. I mean this. I am proud to do my part to support your fight, to expose this truth. I'm proud to be here. I can't wait to hear your stories directly. I'm going to sit down with several of you. And in the months and years to come, I'll be proud to use my platform to make sure that the world learns about you and the heroes of the USS Liberty. I'm just humbled to be here. I want to thank you for your time. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you. And Lord, please look over and take care of and lift up, and God bless America. Thank you.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost, free shipping, cancel anytime, preparation on demand, water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal, or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's work. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
In Virginia, with people, so many different perspectives on the Liberty, and we're now with Terry Gabert, who was actually aboard a completely different ship on that day, hundreds of miles away. Yes. Give us your perspective. I mean, not even here for the event, just or as a part of the event, and just happened to be here, and you and Mo, you were together on your ship. Explain this.
Well, it started, we were in the Western Med, and I was on the USS Little Rock, which is a guided missile cruiser, and it's the flagship for the 6th Fleet. We had just secured from general quarters, and I was up on the fantail talking with a radioman buddy of mine, and he asked me if I had to be anywhere right away, and I said, no, not really. And he said, well, you're not going to believe what you're going to see. I said, what's up? And he said, well, I can't tell you, it's secret. I said, well, you know I have a secret clearance, because radiomen knew who all had secret clearances. And so he told me the Israelis had attacked the USS Liberty, and the fleet's forming up on us. We made some very hard turns, and we were going as fast as we could go, probably about 25 knots for that old cruiser, and made some really hard turns, and the fleet formed up on us, and you look 360 degrees all around, all you saw was U.S. Navy warships. And we got in line, we had a carrier in front of us and a carrier behind us, and all the other support ships all around. The carrier behind us, the America, was launching jets, and they were just screaming by the Little Rock, just screaming by, and of course, jets fly fast. They were just taking off to go save the Liberty. And then they got called back.
They got called back. Who gave that order?
Secretary of Defense McNamara. And then from what I heard later on, that President Johnson also told them to come back, because from what I heard, some of the one commander of a wing wasn't going to bring his jets back. He was going to prevent any more damage to the USS Liberty. And like I said, we were in the Western Med. The Liberty was in the Eastern Mediterranean. And we got there the next day around 11:30 noon. And as we went alongside, well, about 100 yards off the Liberty's starboard side, all you could hear, every sailor on deck on the Little Rock didn't say a word, nothing. All you could hear was the clicking of cameras. That we didn't have our phones and things then, we just had cameras. And to see the Liberty and how many holes was in the Liberty and where the torpedo hit, we were all amazed that it was still afloat.
How did that happen? How did it stay afloat?
Well, apparently they set Circle William perfectly, and you kind of get one shot at that. What Circle William is, they close every vent, every hatch, everything is shut down. So it's, every compartment is watertight. And so it didn't flood the entire ship when the torpedo hit, but it did a lot of damage, and it was listing pretty good to the starboard side.
I know that you weren't in the Oval Office. I know that you weren't sitting down with the Secretary of Defense. I know that you were where you were. Knowing what you know today, LBJ allegedly said, let the SOB sink. He didn't want to embarrass himself or the Israelis, our ally. Why do you think that is?
That's a very good question. I mean, and I don't know for certain. I understand LBJ's mistress was from Israel. No, I can't substantiate that. I don't know. But to abandon our sailors on that ship was the lowest thing a president could ever do. That I lost all respect for him, Secretary of Defense.
The cover-up.
It's horrible. I mean, 34 men were killed that day. There's just no excuse for that. I get a little emotional when I talk about this. That was a tough time. I mean, and I didn't have it nearly anything like what the men on the Liberty did. They were under attack. I mean, that's a thin-hulled, thin-skinned ship, and those rounds from those cannons on the Israeli jets were just ripping through the metal and hurting guys, and they ran out to their machine gun mounts, and they would drop napalm on them. And you could see all the burn spots, too, on the Liberty when we went by. And it was just, you just can't imagine what kind of hell those men went through.
A torpedo attack, napalm, brothers and sisters being cut to pieces by 50 caliber rounds.
It was just brothers. We didn't have any
yeah, excuse
women
me.
On
yes,
the
brothers,
ships
brothers,
then.
Yes, thank you. Their heads split from front to back. I mean, I've heard horrific stories from guys having to put dismembered bodies back together. You acted as a hospital for five of those sailors that were on board the Liberty. One of them happened to be Mo.
I got to talk to Mo.
Yeah, describe that feeling. I mean, here's sitting Mo, and in 1967, 55 years ago, here's this young man on board your ship being provided care after that, and all these years later, here you are next to each other. Just describe that.
I've always wanted to meet the men from the Liberty, the survivors.
Is this your first time?
Yes. I've been in contact with some of them on Facebook and emails and stuff. But I just happened to be in Maryland, and I came up specifically to meet and talk to some of the survivors, because I know the crap they went through. And it should have never happened.
People think that they have gone through tough and difficult and challenging times. Young people, kids, essentially, 20-year-olds, that are currently enlisted in our military, which is being purged and it's being desecrated intentionally by the current regime. They think that they've endured difficult times. The people in that room where we just were, the tension and the stress and the anxiety and the overwhelming anger, really, there's a lot of that as well, and resentment for our leaders. And that carries on today. What Lyndon B. Johnson did and whatever his motivations were, or the Secretary of Defense, or whether it was his mistress that was Israeli, there's a much bigger picture here, because we have a cesspool, a swamp filled with elites that still today yet refuse to admit and acknowledge who attacked the liberty.
Well, from what the people on the Liberty said, they were, some of the jets weren't marked, but some of them had the Israeli markings. And obviously it was Israel, because as everything came out, Israel attacked the USS Liberty, and the people on the Little Rock knew this shortly after the attack began.
You were told this.
Right.
From your position hundreds of miles away. You'll never believe this.
400 miles away, I think.
Yeah, you'll never believe this. You said, quote, the Israelis just attacked the Liberty.
Supposedly our ally. Supposedly a good ally. And they attacked the Liberty, killed 34 men, injured 170, I think, or it's a high number.
So speaking of the today and the swamp and the cesspool of corruption and cover-ups, this is the biggest, I think, I've ever talked about. Why yet still today are we not admitting the truth? Are we not proclaiming what happened? Are we not saying out loud what happened? Why are we not teaching this to our kids, the story of the Liberty in school? Why didn't I learn about it? Why is no media outlet as an adult trying to educate me about what happened?
True. When I got back left active duty Navy and went back to reserve Navy, I was telling people about this, and they couldn't believe me. I mean, they said, no, that wouldn't have happened. They didn't even know, or they had heard something about it and then just forgot about it.
It's a travesty. It's disgusting.
It is.
It's a huge black stain on our country and its failed leadership over the last over five decades.
Very well put.
It is. And it actually really pisses me off, and that's why the full weight of this platform is going to be used to expose this story, and we're going to keep talking about it until the whole world knows what happened on that day.
Definitely, definitely. It needs to be brought out to the forefront. I did talk to James Ennis. I believe he was on the bridge during the attack, and he wrote the book, The Assault on the Liberty. And I think he was in the Seattle area when I talked to him, and when I told him I was on the Little Rock, he just said, oh my God, you know what happened. You were there. And we talked for a while, and it's hard for me to talk about this and not really get angry.
I bet.
It's just that. But we talked. I got his book. He signed the book for me, and he also sent me a USS Liberty coin. So that was pretty special, and that was several years ago. And some of the Liberty people I've been in contact with via Facebook and via emails and stuff. And when I got an email that they were having this up here, I wanted to come and meet some of the survivors.
Well, you and the survivors that are here today are not going to be around forever.
That's right.
And so your children and grandchildren.
I was 20 when this happened.
Need to know about this so that this can be carried on and that the truth will prevail. God held that ship up. I'm convinced absolutely 100% that that's what happened.
When I joined the Navy, I was deferred from active duty because I was going to college. And I saw these guys coming back using their GI Bill and joining the vet club at the university where I was going. So that's what I decided to do. So I quit school, went back to the reserve office, and I said, I want to go on active duty, I want to go to Vietnam, and I want to go on river patrol. When you're from Colorado, you go to the West Coast. I went to the East Coast. Kind of strange. Somebody was looking out for me.
That somebody was God. Yeah.
When, definitely. When I got on the Little Rock and stuff, we did all of our shakedown cruises after a yard period, and then we went over and took over flagship for the 6th Fleet. And that day when we went and saw the liberty, saw the damage, the carnage, I looked up and thanked the Lord for not sending me to Vietnam.
Well, God willing, the story is going to be heard everywhere. And
I certainly hope so. It needs to be.
Yes. And thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for your service, Lord of Little Rock.
You're welcome.
Live from Arlington, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., as you can see, our government, everybody, they're trying to steal the truth. They're trying to steal away the truth. These are the same people that are trying to, of course, steal your individual liberty, steal your freedom, steal the Constitution away from you, steal your kids. So, of course, they're going to steal your money as well. If you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, in your 401k, or in your savings, money that you've worked hard for and even harder to save, they're going to steal it. Infinite tax hikes, hyperinflation, and government theft. It's at risk. You have to protect your money with physical gold and silver. Call my good friends over at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Get up to $10,000 or more in a qualified account in free silver when you call my good friends over at GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD. This special edition of the Stu Peters Show, live from the DC area, is brought to you by GoldCo. They make it possible. Call them and make it possible for you to protect your retirement savings. 855-706-GOLD.
We're here in Virginia, and we're here with Mo Schaefer, among other heroes from the USS Liberty, survivors of an attack that was launched by Israel on an American ship. An unbelievable story that I have only just recently learned about because it's been kept a secret. There's been a huge cover-up for all of these years since 1967. Mo was on board this ship, and also you are the glue that holds together this event that takes place every year. We were talking before we went on air here, and you were saying that, you know, there's this unbelievable amount of stress in that room that we just walked out of. And I could feel it too. You could cut it with a knife. People are stressed out. What stresses you out the most today about the entire event?
First of all, thanks for having us here and showing your interest in the USS Liberty crew. But I think today, 55 years after the attack, that the stress still lingers of being on the ship and being attacked the way we were, maliciously, to be in the room where the torpedo hit, and to have survived that, but to be around your shipmates who you love dearly and want to spend time with, but we cry together, we laugh together, we do these things, but you just can't eliminate the pain in your body and the feeling and the betrayal of our country to just turn their back on us for 55 years. And we're still together for one reason until we die, is simply to make sure we try to get our story told and get a fair investigation, which we've never had the privilege of having.
Since 1967, there's been no legitimate investigation into what happened on that day on the Liberty.
Capitol Hill will tell you there has been an investigation, but it was less than a week, and so there has never been a formal congressional investigation about the USS Liberty.
But we get endless year-long investigations into made-up stories about Russian collusion to unseat presidents in our country now, spending billions of taxpayer dollars. 34 brave sailors lost their life on that day, and unequivocally, you were there, unequivocally, overwhelming evidence to suggest or to confirm this was a deliberate attack, this was not a mistake, and Israel perpetrated these crimes.
You know, and
why is it so bad to say that?
It isn't, but I mean, the thing that it always takes you back is that they hit us to make us think it was somebody else. And what the world doesn't really know is how close we came to a nuclear holocaust, because we were 6 minutes from bombing Cairo, Egypt. And but I mean, it's hard for me to talk about, and I don't want to get off track of your thing, so.
No, I just want you to speak freely. There's just so many Americans, millions, tens, hundreds of millions, yeah, that have no idea that this occurred, which is a travesty in and of itself.
You know, it's to go back, Young sailors, 20, 19, officers a little older, but we're out doing what we did as we were spies, but we had other crew member ran the ship too, but we're all out one day sitting off the Sinai Peninsula, which we knew there was trouble going on, but we were sunbathing. We were out there enjoying the day, doing our things that we do, and then these boxcars come over the plane. They circle us four or five times, take pictures, and they have Stars of David on us, so we know those are Israelis, so we feel comfortable. We feel very comfortable.
Because these are your allies.
Those are our allies. So, yeah. You know, just checking us out, and we could still see, you know, bombs going off over in Egypt or whatever. We're 13 miles offshore. But then a couple hours later, we're had just had a practice drill, and then these jets hit us. And the guy beside me, he gets blown to pieces by the jet coming in through the sun. And then we dive down, and we go to our general quarters, and I went to my spaces below decks because I was worked in a secure room. And then you feel like somewhat safe, but armored piercing was coming through those walls. And then the captain says, prepare for a torpedo attack.
How do you prepare for a torpedo attack?
I looked at my friend and I said, Jimmy, how is the blank words, do we prepare for a torpedo attack? And I says, I tell you what let's do. Let's lay down on the floor, wrap our arms around that table leg and bare our heads and see what happens. And apparently that was the right thing to do because in that room, 35 to 40 of us in that room, 25 were killed. And anybody above a foot and a half or 2 feet in the air, we only identified one body they were blown. And I stayed afterwards. I went off in the hospital, then I came back on the ship because I wanted to be with it. And I stayed for 30 days to clear out those bodies that we found in air conditioner vents and everything. I found my brother's class ring who'd been killed the year before inside of a machine that had imploded and then gone back together, taken it apart. It was beyond anything you can imagine what that impact was.
So this was, I've watched this film, I've talked to you guys. This was an unbelievable story that really feels like it could be a movie. You lived it. The torpedo attack was then followed by more attacks. They came back again, and they were gunning down anybody that was up on that deck.
They not only, right, did they fire torpedoes, they came, and then after we were hit, we're listing, and the captain also was said to prepare to abandon ship. So when you prepare to abandon ship, you jettison your life rafts, and you get prepared to do that. And they came, Israel shot our life rafts out of the water. And so that in itself is a war crime against the Geneva Conference. That is a war crime. I was in Washington years later and was the one on Capitol Hill there that in front of all the media filed the charges against Rumsfeld and all that. And we got absolutely not one single response from the government on that.
Can I just ask you, why do you think that is? I mean, this is quite possibly the biggest cover-up I've ever...
It is the largest cover-up still today in history. I mean, I have a close personal friend, rest in peace, Johnny Isaacson, who was a U.S. Senator, my neighbor and friend in my club in Atlanta, and he wouldn't help us. He couldn't risk his political career because of saying anything potentially negative. And I don't have anything negative. I got a lot of Jewish friends or whatever. It's not that. It's just that they're the people that intentionally killed us, and they should suffer for what they did to us.
And the world should know that.
Right.
Regardless of how controversial it is.
Right.
We've been lied to about this. This has been covered up. It was covered up by Lyndon B. Johnson, who probably should have been arrested and at bare minimum in prison for the rest of his life after this. I mean, by all intents and purposes, it could be that he was directly involved with trying to sink the USS Liberty.
We pretty much have enough information to feel confident that he and McNamara knew about the attack before it happened and allowed it to happen. And so, we do have him on tape saying, let the SOB sink. I will not jeopardize my relationship with Israel.
The trip home, or the trip to Malta. I mean, here you are, you have no communications. You've got 34 dead Americans on board, your friends, your
brothers.
Floating
inside the hole, rotting for 6 days.
Describe that trip back to Malta.
I can't, because I was flown off on the Little Rock. So I joined the ship back in Malta the day it arrived. Then I went in and started helping get the bodies out. And I stayed with the ship for 31 days in Malta. And then I was one of the 9 volunteers that rowed it back to Norfolk. So I wanted to go home with that ship.
Well,
and by the way,
are.
The ship looked brand new when we pulled into Norfolk. That's how much they came and made it look like a brand new ship.
I heard about when sailors first boarded the Liberty. They got their assignment. They looked at the ship and they said, wow, this looks like a great ship. Look at all these antennas. What am I going to do on this ship? A lot of people didn't have any idea what they were going to do on this ship. The CIA was controlling a lot of transcriptions of information that you were receiving there. And you were not ready for battle. This wasn't the purpose of the Liberty.
No. Our ship had, first of all, we were NSA. So NSA is the one that supported us, a national security agency. But yet, where was I?
You weren't ready for battle. I mean, this is not what
no.
the ship's
No, so our ship had
was.
450 caliber machine guns on it that are small guns wrapped in plastic, tied down, because nothing was ever going to happen. And all they were doing is rusting, and they didn't fire when the guys went up there. And we had guys went on that bridge or went up there on the forecastle, that ship, to those guns to try to shoot them. And just pools of blood up there where they just blew them to pieces.
They fired torpedoes at you. The thing was riddled with 50 caliber rounds.
They napalmed us.
They napalmed you. They came back in waves. They sent helicopters and repellers to come down and finish off those of you who remained. Describe that fear, if you can.
I can honestly say that there's so many different levels of fear, but I'd always wondered what it would be like if you were ever in a war, because I joined the military not knowing where I would go or what would happen to me, but yet to go on that ship and be in the Navy and never expected anything like that happen. But what hit me the most is I woke up the next day and the attack was over and I wasn't going to get shot again. But then I thought about my buddies in Vietnam, that every day they went on the front line and that they lived, their best day was yesterday, and then they had to live again the next day, and they had to go through the same battle. So I can't imagine that, because I can't tell you how scared I was, and how you react when you're scared to survive or to go. Some people may hide. It's just, I just went toward the action. I just had to go try to see a guy shot, see this, go help, and do whatever. I didn't sit down for 23 hours and never knew I was really hurt.
We've got about 2 minutes left here.
Okay.
And so I just want to ask you, in a perfect world, if we had a serious country that was led by real America First patriots who gave a damn about the United States and America and the principles and core values that we here support and fight for, and you lost brothers for these values, for this country, in a perfect world, what would happen with this story?
Today,
what would you ask that happens with this? An investigation, the release of the truth.
Well,
all of it.
Today, it would be impossible to cover it up with the media out there and the resources we have and so forth. So it was easy then to cover up, but I don't think we'd be sitting here having this conversation, because we would have, I hope, taking care of who was trying to kill us. But I don't think anybody would have the nerve to ever do that today.
Well, what we can do is we can hold the media accountable, and you have the full weight of my platform. We're going to broadcast this story far and wide. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in tonight. It's been a very moving visit to DC for this program. The sailors of the USS Liberty are among the most mistreated men in American history. As you heard, America has had a lot of heroes, and we've had people who were wronged by our government and our country. But almost never has America taken its heroes and mistreated them and thrown them in the trash the way that we have the men of the Liberty. We've taken men who showed enormous valor under enemy fire, and we've done everything that we can to hide what happened to them and to deny them the truth about why nearly three dozen of their comrades died. Well, here at the Stu Peters Show, we're committed to remembering the sailors of the USS Liberty. Our Congress and our State Department might want to forget. We will not let them. And we'll make sure that America understands the bigger lesson of the Liberty. Because this tragic story isn't a one-off. It's a symptom of a much wider problem. A government that refuses to put America first. A government that puts our allies ahead of the American people, which don't happen to be allies at all. And which sees foreign interests as morally superior than the interests of this country. As I said in my speech, understanding the Liberty allows us to understand why we're still covering up for Saudi Arabia and Israel and 9/11, and why we spent 20 years fighting in Afghanistan when we had no strategy for winning. It's why we outsourced our entire industrial base to China in order to enrich a handful of people at the top, and it's why we're sending billions of dollars to support a corrupt kleptocracy that until a couple of years ago had Hunter Biden on their payroll. The world is filled with lies, but on this show, our first commitment is to seeking the truth. So we'll make sure that the world knows the truth about the USS Liberty, about our wars overseas, and about what the government here in Washington is doing each and every day. And we're glad to have you with us every day as we seek out that truth. Thank you for being here. God bless you, and good night.